Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast, the week 8 edition and the third installment here of the latest part of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Eagles coverage. I'm Zach Berman, the Eagles beat writer for the Inquirer, and we have a good show for you this week. The Eagles lost to the Cowboys 17-3 last week. You saw that. They play the Giants for the second time this season on Sunday. You know that. But we'll look deeper at both those games. Jeff McClain, my partner on the beat, reported Tuesday morning that Mike Vick will start against the Giants. We'll discuss that news with Jeff, and we'll analyze the future of Nick Foles after his wretched performance against the Cowboys and the future of Mike Vick, who, as I said, will start against the Giants. You'll have a chance to hear from Vick himself discussing his status. And then we'll have on the line Connor Orr, the Giants beat writer from the Star Ledger in New Jersey, who will give you the latest on the Giants and what to look for in Sunday's game. So that's what you'll have in this show. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Jeff McClain about what's going on with the Eagles. Joined now, as usual, with Jeff McClain, Eagles beat writer from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Jeff, before we discuss the quarterbacks, please just bring us up to speed on the latest from what you've heard about Michael Vick's status for Sunday.
Yeah, he will play Sunday, according to NFL source that I spoke to earlier this morning on Tuesday. Michael did talk to reporters after practice on Tuesday and said that, he kind of couldn't spill the beans, it sounded like. At one point, he was pretty close to saying that he's going to play. But I think the Eagles want him to see how this plays out the next few days. I mean, he could certainly have a setback. But as long as he kind of progresses as most expect him to progress, he'll be playing Sunday. Even if he's in 100%, Michael did tell me at one point after the press conference that he could play even if he's only at 80%. I imagine he'll probably be a little close to 100%. But, it'll be Michael Vick again, and we'll see. This time, he doesn't have Nick Foles as a backup, though. Matt Barkley will be backing him up. It's very unlikely that Nick Foles will be able to play because of his concussion.
And so then let's discuss that, because I was about to ask you about the Vick Foles dynamic. But let's touch on Foles here, because by the time this comes out, everyone can read your story in Wednesday's paper where you're breaking down what you saw from Nick Foles. But I'll tell you briefly what I saw was a quarterback who essentially revealed what he was. He's someone who I think he can be a starter in this league. He's most likely a backup in this league. He can step in and win games for you, but he won't be consistent week in, week out. He's going to have games like the one he had against the Cowboys. What was your read on the performance?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same as you, Zach. I think we're seeing probably Kevin Cobb part two here.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, a guy that, as you mentioned, can kind of step in and deliver the goods and maybe win a game here and there if called upon. But, as far as consistency, winning, giving your team the opportunity to win week in and week out, I just don't know if Nick's going to be that guy. There's still, time here to figure out if he has a shot, but it's going to be hard for him this year. As I wrote in the story for tomorrow, Michael Vick's back, and they have a chance to make the playoffs, certainly. So there's a chance we might not see Nick Foles again this season. I think, knowing Michael Vick's injury history, that there's probably a strong chance that we will see him again. But if we don't see him again, and the Eagles don't get to see him again, he's never had an opportunity to kind of show that he can bounce back from performance like that. And you got to wonder what the Eagles are thinking in terms of his long-term future. Right now, they're probably not feeling very good about it. I know it was only one game, but if you watch the game tape, I know you did, Zach, but if you watch the coach's home tape, both hands, 10 times probably, yep, where he missed open receivers, sometimes two on one play, downfield, wide open. I mean, you can't blame Chip Kelly for this loss. The plays were there to be had, and Nick just did not pull the trigger. And that comes from a guy who just isn't there mentally, who just doesn't feel confident in himself. And then you have, when he did throw the ball, he was short, he was long, he was wide, and that had to do with a lot of cases the fundamentals, stepping into the throws, and that, again, comes back to confidence and being confident in your arm and making those throws. So it was a major step back for Nick Foles.
But the thing that I still can't get over, I was at the game, I've watched the game twice, is there's such a disparity between the way he played against the Bucs and the way he played against the Cowboys. And I even went back and watched. I didn't watch all of the Bucs game, but I watched a good chunk of the Bucs game to look at the way he threw there, and it really looked like a different quarterback. So I don't know if he was if it was the stage that he was on, if it was his health, what it was, but there was such a disparity from one week to the other that I really don't know which quarterback he is. And frankly, he's probably somewhere in the middle, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say he's just somewhere in the middle. And it wasn't fair to say that he was as good as he played against the Bucs, and it's probably not fair to say that he was as bad as he was against the Cowboys. So he's probably somewhere in that vast gray area. But I think he's probably more towards the Cowboys end than he is the Buccaneers end, meaning that he played very well. I mean, so well against Tampa Bay that he was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And I just don't think that he can do that consistently. And also based on how he played last year too, Zach, right? He only won one of six starts.
Yeah,
so.
He was 1-5, and the team wasn't good around him. But even still, sometimes a quarterback brings up the level of the team, and he didn't do that last season.
No. I think the team knows. I think Chip had a pretty good feeling of what he had. I've said this a million times, I had a pretty good pretty good source that was close to Chip telling me that he wasn't in love with Nick, and that's why he brought Vic back, and then, Mike went out and won the competition in training camp. So I think they probably had a pretty good feeling about Nick anyway, whether he could be the starter for the team in the future, the franchise quarterbacks, shall we say, and I think this game kind of just told him that he wasn't. It's back to the drawing board for Chip Kelly.
And so then I'm curious your opinion on this. And Chip Kelly doesn't play the hypothetical game we do. Could Nick have gotten the starting job based on the way he played against the Cowboys? I really think if he had a good game, Chip wouldn't have come out and said Nick's the starter, but Mike Vick wouldn't have been as healthy this week as he seems to be. What's your read on that?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, Zach, and I think that he was probably going to stick with Mike no matter what because, I mean, even if he probably was unbelievable, and that would probably have been hard for him to go back to Michael, but it's easier to stay with Michael. It was status quo. The players were really behind the decision, as we saw, especially the star players.
Yeah.
And once he made the decision to go with Nick, there was no way he had to go back to Michael. And I know you and I actually talked about this earlier. I can't rule out Michael Vick for the future because I'm laughing now because you were laughing earlier when I mentioned it to you. But, he's 30. He'll be 34 next year. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get that guy in the draft. So, maybe they kind of have him on the back burner. And I'm not really sure if there's going to be any other teams out there that want Michael. And this offense suits him, and maybe it's the best opportunity for him. I know I'm looking way ahead here, but
no. But this is a good discussion to have because I mean I disagree with you there. I just think to keep Michael, you're going to have to commit another contract. You commit another year into this Chip Kelly experiment, and at some point you can't keep holding serve, so to speak. You can't keep bringing a quarterback back on a 1 year deal. You got to say, is this the guy we have going forward, or is this not the guy we have going forward?
Well, he's still got 9 games here to play. I mean, Mike played pretty well.
That's true.
He played great in his first 2 games. He regressed certainly in the next 2.5, but not to the point where I thought he should have been benched.
No, not at all.
Now he's got 9 games. Let's say he goes – I mean, this is not unrealistic. Let's say he goes 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you in the playoffs, right? Or gets you pretty close to the playoffs. What do you do then? What do you do then with Michael Vick?
You see, I'm not eliminating that from the realm of possibility. What I'm saying, and Michael Vick and the financial situation well, If Michael Vick finishes this season 6-3, is he coming back on a one-year deal? He's going to want to get paid. You're essentially in the same situation you were in at the end of the 2010 season. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, he probably could get paid from – there probably could be the opportunity that another team would be willing to sign him. He'll be a free agent. And maybe he gets more money than the Eagles would offer in a one-year deal. Or maybe the Eagles give him, like, a two-year deal as a second one with an option and – you know, he gets $10 million guaranteed. You know, they're not paying any other quarterbacks a lot of money. Yep. And if they make the playoffs, let's say they have the 22nd pick, right, or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, they got to think, well, there's a good chance we may not be able to get the quarterback we want. So we need Michael just in case we don't get the quarterback we want. So let's sign him to a 12-year deal, a 12-year deal, or maybe two years, 20, and, 10 of it's guaranteed. I can't rule it out. I'm not saying I think Michael's probably more than likely done here.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't rule it out. If they make somehow they sneak in the playoffs and they got the 20-something pick and the quarterbacks you're looking at are all going to go in the top five. Mariota, let's say if Huntley comes out, and then of course Teddy Bridgewater. It would be interesting. And honestly, Michael's got so many lives. Yeah. I can't rule it out.
So then let's wrap it up with this being. How do you see this playing out? We know Mike's going to start this Sunday against the Giants. We know that the schedule is not that tough. I mean, they do have a trip to Green Bay in there, but I mean, if you look at the course of the schedule, it's not like this is a backloaded schedule. How do you see this last stand, if you will, for Michael Vick playing out?
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the games. Giants are 1-6.
Yep.
They could certainly win that game. Oakland, 2-5.
Yep.
They could certainly win that game. Green Bay, I think everyone can see they'll lose that one. The Redskins, I think, will be playing well by the time they play that game. They're home, though, although playing at home means nothing anymore. But that's a game they can win. They beat them before. Then they get the bye. Then they come back and they play Arizona, right?
Yep.
Not a very good team. Has a good defense. Then they got Detroit. Then they got Minnesota.
Yeah.
Detroit will probably be tough. Minnesota won't be tough. And then they got the Cowboys, right?
No,
am I missing anybody?
Yeah, they have the Bears at home, and then they end the season Bears, with the Cowboys.
Right, a Bears team that, Jay Cutler, we all know he might not be back in Chicago. Yep. What's he doing at that point?
Yep.
He's going to have a groin injury. Could be missing 6 weeks. And then you get the Cowboys again. A team, if Nick Foles played just okay, they probably beat the Cowboys Sunday, the way the defense was playing. And these are all winnable games. I think there's only one game that you can say flat out they're not going to win.
Yeah, the Packers.
And there's probably two in there that maybe they won't win. So I think it's not unrealistic to say they win six of the last nine.
But can
more
Mike
than likely
Vick...
there it's probably 500, but 5-4 and 5-4. But it'll be interesting to see, especially if Michael stays healthy.
And that's the thing. Can Mike? And it's hard to predict injuries, but I don't trust Mike Vick staying healthy the remainder of the season. Although I'm in agreement with you that if he does stay healthy, I think Vic can bring this team to the playoffs or at least bring them to a winning record and force the Eagles' hand.
Right, and that's the thing with Michael. I mean, he's now missed 13 games in the last 4 years because of injury.
Yep. So that's Jeff McClain. As I said, he has the Nick Foles story. On Wednesday, but then also make sure you pay attention to Eagles Insights on Friday. I keep promoting; it's the best thing in the Eagles coverage going right now. And then, of course, all our coverage leading up to the Giants game. Jeff, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week. That's the latest on Michael Vick, but it's also important to hear what Michael Vick has to say himself. Michael Vick had a chance to meet with reporters on Tuesday afternoon. Here's what he said about if he'll play on Sunday and how he'll play on Sunday. Are you expecting to start on Sunday?
I wish I could give you a definite answer on that, but I can't.
What point do you need to test it though to be able to tell? Is that something you can wait till game day to do, or do you need to try and do it before?
At some point, just we got to test it out and see what it feels like. But I think I have to give it a go, and I just don't want to do it this early in the week.
Can you play at 70%, you go out there and play 75%, whatever you are now, and play differently than those nights?
I can pretty much set my mind to play however I want to play. It's all about the integrity of everything else that happens within the game. So, know, I can't be selfish and try to go out there and get it done on my own or try to be the hero.
Mike, you said the last 2 weeks.
Everything I can to get back out there.
You said the last 2 weeks you still felt that knot back there. Yeah. Do you still feel that, or is it lessened?
Kind of sort of going away, though. I mean, it's just progressed very quickly. Got better each and every day. I just don't want to lose sight of what's got me to this point.
And now last week,
you watch Nick's performance on Sunday. Was it difficult to watch Nick Foles' performance on Sunday?
It's always difficult to watch. The offense when they're struggling, the teammates when they're struggling. You know, it makes you hold yourself more accountable. Being out there, sometimes those situations can be very difficult. And I've been there before, and I know what it's like. So I wish I could have been out there.
When you see Nick go down, is it tough for you mentally to step out and say, okay, I can't rush back because now he's hurt?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, it's a very delicate situation. You want to get back out there, you want to play, and you want to, help your team. And, you know, that's what's, beat me up on the inside out there. So I wish I could tell you if it was going to speed up the recovery process. No, I just got a very good process.
Did Matt take any reps with the ones, or did you take them all?
Yeah, Matt took all.
And now last week, you knew by Thursday if you play or not. Is there a date this week you'd expect to know?
I wish I could tell you. I just don't know. Tomorrow is another up-tempo day.
Okay.
Get some treatment today. We'll come back out and see what it feels like tomorrow. But I can't give a definite answer on that.
What's holding you back at this point? No, obviously. No, but I mean, is it the way you're running? Is it your acceleration? Is there anything in particular?
Yeah, I think that more the acceleration part, just moving around. So, like I said, I don't want to reactivate it. I want to continue with my progress and make sure that I don't regress.
Is it difficult if you're out there and the game plan is kind of just, don't run as much as you normally? Is that tough?
Come out there, I'm giving everything I got.
Okay.
No holds back. Go out in the game. Limit myself to what I can do unless I really made up my mind to play that way. So, we'll see. I'm excited about, having the opportunity to play this game. That's what it calls for, so we'll see.
Mike, if you had the opportunity to talk to Nick since his injury, and what would you say to him about the game, about moving on from that and going forward?
Well, I said this morning that the only thing I could tell him was to learn from everything that happened and continue to know that you're a good quarterback in this league and you're going to have a lot of success. And, we all have our share of growing pains and things that happen. We all want the game to go as planned, but sometimes it don't. And, the measure of great players, how well he comes back from it. So, that's his challenge right now. I'm sure he's up to it.
Michael, assuming that Nick Foles isn't ready, and it looks like that might be the case, this game was in the next couple of days, could and would, because the team needs you, would you be the quarterback to start for this game?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
So, physically,
he's going to get it out of me right now. Get it out of you right now. Might as well put it all out there.
Yeah, put it all out there. So you're going to play on Sunday, assuming that Nick can't
get it out of you. I'm optimistic about it.
Now, you spoke last week about changing your stride and your stretching routine before the Giants game. What have you done with that, and are you changing it back?
Yeah, I just went back to my old routine. Stretching more than anything. I understand that when you stretch, it gives the muscles endurance, and sometimes so eager and so excited to get out to a game that you forget the small things and just can't forget about the things that has gotten me to the point where I'm at now, being a squad veteran.
Is it fair to say that if you improve so much in the next 5 days, as you have maybe the last 5 days, that if that continues, then you'd be good to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, I'm working hard every day. I'm trying to do everything I can to get out there. I wouldn't I wouldn't, you know, change, you know, the places I'm at, the opportunities that I have with anybody in this world. And I'm just very excited about playing with these guys, you know, this week. Seeing if I can get myself back to, you know, 100% if I can, and give it everything that I got. So, you know, I love the game of football, and you know, it's one thing it hurts me that I'm letting the hamstring, you know, keep me out of football. It's unfortunate we got to break the circuit here.
How will you know, like, if you're going to be able to kind of test out your hamstring, like, later in the week, you know, by running and all that? Like, I mean, will you know that you'll be able to, or?
Yeah, whenever I can just do everything without thinking about it, then that's when I'll make that determination.
Mike, can I ask you real quick, the fourth magazine came out with a report about the most disliked player in the NFL. You've done a tremendous job handling yourself since you've come back. Is that tough when you hear that, or is that
absolutely not? I mean, I care nothing about that. I care nothing about the people who dislike me. I care nothing about the people who still have their feelings about me. What matters most to me is the people that I do know care about me. And, you know, that's something you can never take away from me. So I don't feed into all that. You know, people are entitled to their own opinions, and I respect it. So, you know, just let me do what I do and let me be me. And you know, as long as I got my freedom, my health, and my family, nothing else matters.
So that was Michael Vick. He did not want to come out and definitively say he will be playing this week against the Giants, but you can expect him out there starting on Sunday when the Giants visit Lincoln Financial Field. Although the game is a lot more than Michael Vick versus the Giants, and to get all the latest on the Giants, what to expect from them after their first win of the season and entering Sunday's game against the Eagles, I brought in my old friend Connor Orr, who covers the Giants for the Star Ledger. And we're joined now here on the Bird's Eye View podcast with Connor Orr. He's the Giants beat writer for the Star Ledger. You can find his work in the Star Ledger if you're in the New Jersey area or on NJ.com. And I used to work with Connor. I can attest how good he is. So this week, Eagles fans, he's a good guy to read, good guy to see what's going on with the Giants. And we'll start there, Connor. Give us an update on what has happened with the New York Giants since the Eagles beat them up in East Rutherford.
Well, you know, it's been a, you know, as you guys saw, I mean, just kind of a weird season for the Giants. I mean, when you start out 0-6, even 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, it's just sort of a weird vibe because it's that sort of nobody knows what it's like to lose. Nobody's felt that way before, but, you know, ever since the Eagles took them down, you know, the Giants did manage to find their first win, you know, on Monday night against the Vikings, and probably one of the worst played football games I've ever seen in person. So, you know, it's weird. You don't know where they're at right now. I mean, is this a building block? Is this somewhere to go forward? Or, I mean, was Josh Freeman that bad? And, you know, I'm leaning towards Josh Freeman being that bad at this point.
No, I might be looking at this from an Eagles perspective, but I'm curious what you think. In that Eagles-Giants game, it was a different Giants offense after David Wilson left the game. They were essentially one-dimensional, and Eagles defense seemed to play them that way, hence Eli's turnovers in the second half there. In watching the game last night, I see Peyton Hillis in there. I saw the way Brandon Jacobs ran against the Bears. Do the Giants have a running game now, and how do you think that plays a factor in Sunday's game?
Oh, I mean, you know, if the Giants could continue to develop that at some point, it would be huge. But, you know, the weird thing was, like, you know, everyone kind of talked about Peyton Hillis, and really he did almost all of his damage receiving. I think he averaged 2 yards a carry, and it was just so weird how they were able to move the ball and to actually sell some of that play action. But you're right. I mean, against the Bears, that was the first time all year that the Giants have seen a running game. And, I mean, the lanes that were being opened up for Brandon Jacobs were just ridiculous. And had David Wilson been in there, I mean, he would have rushed for 220 yards. But, you know, that's what you said. I mean, that last Eagles game, you take David Wilson out of the equation, that's your home run threat. And then, you know, you leave yourself with Brandon Jacobs to try to catch screens and then, you know, kind of get involved in the passing game. And he's just, I mean, he was never really that back, and he's certainly not that at 31. So it's a weird thing right now. I mean, just not being able to get that steady offensive line, and then when they do, they have the right back. So everyone's confident with Peyton Hillis, though. Everyone's feeling good this week. So who knows? I mean, maybe it'll build on it because he's certainly got a lot to prove because he's not ready to go back to go back home. He was coaching, I think, at high school before the Giants signed him. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, who knows? They do need more running game, though. You're absolutely right.
Now let's look at the running game on the other side of the ball because the Giants – did an outstanding job, and I don't think I'm overstating it. They did an outstanding job against LeSean McCoy in that first game, particularly the defensive tackles, whether it's Sean Rogers, Mike Patterson, Colin Jenkins, Linval Joseph, but I don't believe Linval Joseph played against the Eagles there. But they really did well with those stunts, disrupting the Eagles' front, and they did the same thing, frankly, against Adrian Peterson. What's been the key with the Giants' run defense this season?
I think it's a healthier Sean Rogers. Mike Patterson, I mean, you guys know him down there. Just an incredible story in camp. Came in and, you know, everyone pretty much wrote him off just because, you know, you had the second round pick, Jonathan Hankins, and you thought this guy might be more of a little, you know, an every down guy for the Giants and might bring him along. But, I mean, it's those two guys and in combination with Colin Jenkins, they've just been able to get a little bit of a push into the backfield. And even though Pierre Paul and Tuck and Kivunuka don't seem to be bringing the pressure from the outside, I mean, at the least they're forcing running backs to look maybe at their second option, maybe a cutback. And even though that's LeSean McCoy's bread and butter, it's still uncomfortable for a lot of backs. And Adrian Peterson, too, I mean, you can't say enough about what they were able to do, just getting two, three of those guys to the ball. I mean, it's the one thing that they did terribly last year and the one thing that they've fixed this year. You know, it's weird. It's like we said, it's a weird team that just so happens to defend the run pretty well.
Now let's look at this big picture for a second. And as we're talking, we should say we're talking on a Tuesday night, and so you'll get a chance to get a pulse of the locker room on Wednesday. But from being around them this season, how's that locker room right now? Everyone knows the tight ship that Tom Coughlin has there with the Giants, but this is a season that has not gone the way anyone expected. How's the locker room reacted during these past 7 weeks?
To be honest, I'm surprised that it stayed together as well as it has. And, you know, we kind of saw cracks forming, or at least the early warning signs of something like that happening 2 weeks ago when I was talking to Terrell Thomas and, you know, there's some other guys in the corner of the locker room laughing and telling jokes. And he was really upset. It was like a Wednesday after a loss. And I asked him if he had the feeling that there were other players on the team that weren't taking it as seriously as he was. And he said, you know, there's guys on this team that just don't care. And at that point, I thought, wow, you know, this is really the start of something that's very non-Tom Coughlin-like. But to their credit, I mean, that was something that got fixed internally. It got nipped in the bud, and you've kind of seen everybody holding hands ever since. And maybe that's putting on a nice show of things. But with the attitudes, the egos in that locker room, I'm shocked that it's held up as well as it has.
So can they turn it around? Will they turn it around? And and can it and will it happen by Sunday?
I don't think so. I mean, if you know, one of the Giants' big weaknesses and is playing a running quarterback, and if they just so happen to play Vic, as you guys so astutely reported today, then you know, I think that that they're going to have a lot of problems because that's just one kink in the machine that they don't need right now. I mean, they could kind of barely handle the Vikings and that kind of disaster that they are. And I think it was nice for the Giants to get that win, but and the Eagles, I mean, it's a good offense. I mean, like, you know, you guys have written before. I mean, you know, Chip Kelly's a good coach. He's going to have them rest. So, you know, I think the Minnesota game was a nice thing for them to just sort of relax a little bit. But, you know, you go down to Philly, and, I mean, you know, that team down there is in a playoff run. I think the Giants are just kind of going to get outplayed like they have been for the rest of the season.
And so the last question, give us one thing to watch for in this game. And or no, let's change it this way. Give us one key to this game, and then also one thing that the diehard football fan, the guy who's breaking down the X's and O's, one thing that person should watch in this game.
All right. So the thing that the diehard fans should be watching is how they're going to involve or at least continue to try to involve Brandon Myers in this offense. I mean, just watching the tape and watching all of his snaps this year, you know, he had a breakout year in Oakland last year, a ton of receptions, and he's completely lost in that offense this year. And there's plenty of opportunities for a tight end to come out and open things up. And I really think that's one of the big things that Eli Manning is missing in the passing game. Martellus Bennett did a nice job of providing that security blanket, getting that blocking off the edge, and then getting out and catching a pass. And, you know, Brandon Myers, for whatever reason, just hasn't been able to fit in. But, you know, in talking to a couple people, you know, inside the building, there's been a real push to get him a little bit more involved, to get him to somehow try to help Eli out a little bit, be a little bit more of a security blanket. So, you know, and that offense, as you know from covering the team, relies a lot on the receiver seeing the same thing as Eli sees. So will Brandon Myers finally, after 7 weeks, be on the same page with Eli? That's a good one to watch out for. And then I would say the key for the Giants is to establish some sort of run game. I mean, if they can – you know, Eli works so much better when he's got some time, as does, you know, almost every quarterback. But, I mean, if they can somehow just get the defenders off his back, you know, keep guys like Fletcher Cox away from him, I mean, you know, then I think they might be okay. But if that doesn't happen, you know, I think we might be looking at another, you know, Kansas City or, you know, Carolina-type game where the Giants just turn one-dimensional and teams just tee off on it.
So there you have it. That's Connor Orr from the Star-Ledger. Connor, quick plug. Anything – well, the Eagles fans, anything they should be looking out for in your coverage this week, and the people who live in that crossover territory in South Jersey that they get the Star-Ledger, what they should be picking up?
Well, first of all, tell them thank you for, you know, for supporting us, because sometimes they get that early edition, and you never know what you're going to get down there in South Jersey. But tell them thank you for continuing to support the paper. But, yeah, as always, I mean, you know, We're gonna have a packed section this week. A lot of big stuff coming on Sunday. Don't want to reveal too many secrets, but it's good enough. It's good enough to spend $2 on the paper. So, you know, tell them to make sure they get out this week and pick it up on newsstands.
There you go, Connor Orr from the Star-Ledger. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the week 8 edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast, the third installment. We will be back next week reviewing the Eagles-Giants game, looking forward to the Eagles-Raiders game, and we will have all the latest on the quarterback situation and any developments with the Eagles. For the Inquirer, I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.